The coronavirus crisis has disrupted a lot of things, but one thing that it hasn't disrupted is the campaign for the leadership of Ireland's Labour Party, which of course is ongoing through postal ballot, so there's no need for any physical congregations. Somewhere between 2,500 and 5,000 people eligible to vote for the next leader of the Labour Party, and the votes are not due back or to be counted until the afternoon of the 3rd of April. Now, we are joined by the two candidates today, and under other circumstances we might have hoped to have both of them in studio, and maybe we could replicate some of the debates that they've been having, or at least had intended to have on the hustings, but with circumstances being as they are, instead we've got both of them on the line and we will do interviews with each one of them. We will begin with the party spokesperson on education and the TD for Dublin Bay North, Eoghan O'Riordan. Eoghan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
First of all, the impact of COVID-19, before we talk about your own personal platform for the Labour Party, the impact of COVID-19 on education and your concerns that this could be a fairly lengthy shutdown and it could mean a fairly disrupted education system for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, look, I think the first thing to say, Gavin, is that we are going to get through this. I think we need to focus on the fact that we will eventually come through this, and this will be a difficult time for us, but we have to have the hope and expectation that we will get through this together as a country. But we're only going to get through it together as a country. Just mindful of what Micheál Martin has just said, I do think there's a strong case for government to come out and make the moral argument today for pubs and clubs to close today and tomorrow. I know it's an extremely busy social night, Patrick's Day. Many people have days off work tomorrow. But some of the scenes that were visible on Twitter or social media over the weekend are particularly alarming. I think if that moral call was made, which doesn't have a legislative basis, we understand that. And Taoiseach is talking today about potentially having a legislative basis for Dáil and Shannon to pass emergency legislation. But I think if that call was made from government today, we would all support it in all political parties.
Would you be up for legislating for it if people didn't follow that moral call?
I think there's nothing we should rule out at this point in time. This is a very serious situation. We will absolutely come through this. But in the short term, I don't think it is advisable for people to congregate with alcohol on them, in the manner in which we saw online over the weekend, and it is a small sacrifice to make to stay at home this evening and indeed tomorrow. What we don't want to happen is to have more scenes like that. So while people are perfectly entitled legally to open up their premises, and people are perfectly entitled legally to congregate in those premises and then under those circumstances, I think if government was to make that call and politics was to make that call, I think that pubs and clubs around the country would be morally obliged to follow that call. And it would be a very small sacrifice to make in the overall scheme of things to limit the spread of this virus if people just said, look, I'll spend St. Patrick's Eve, I'll spend St. Patrick's Day at home with my family.
Okay. What is your elevator pitch for people around the role of the Labour Party and what you can bring to it?
Well, look, to be honest, in the last number of days, the leadership of the Labour Party has been secondary to what myself and Alan Kelly have been trying to achieve within politics. We're trying to show a level of political leadership that goes beyond political parties. So in all that, when we're ringing party members, and many of them are more mindful of what's happening to the country.
No,
than
of,
they are
of course, and everyone accepts that it isn't really politics as usual, but at some point we will be over this, as you said. We're going to overcome it sooner rather than later, hopefully, but that, you know, politics will have to go back to normal afterwards, and there is still an election going on right now where yourself and Alan Kelly are both looking to lead the party into the normality that we hope we're going to get back to. So I suppose, you know, without meaning to downplay the concerns that people have, what is your elevator pitch for that leadership?
Well, I think I offer a chance for the Labour Party to move forward. I think we have been hamstrung with people's views of us associated with the most recent government. They've lost trust in us. And what's possibly more dangerous is that they've lost the sense that we're in any way relevant. And every political party has a relationship with the Irish people. It's a bit like when you have a relationship with somebody in your life. If they feel that they can't trust you, if they feel that they don't have faith in you and that you don't care for them, well, then that's a broken relationship, and you have to atone for that. You have to accept that, and you have to find ways to make that better. I've made it very, very clear that the focus of my leadership will be the 25% of Irish workers who are in low pay. That statistic actually surprises many people and alarms many people. But I think most people in Ireland will be quite horrified to learn that the economy is underpinned by such a high level of low pay. The OECD say that we're the third worst in this regard in terms of low pay. What I want to do is to raise the expectations of those people in low pay to argue for legislative underpinning of their right to representation, and for employers to have to engage with that representation so that we can ensure that people in low pay and people in insecure work, which leads to insecure housing, which leads to insecure access to education, which leads to all sorts of insecurities in their life. We even see today through this crisis at the moment, Gavin, people in insecure work are more likely to lose their jobs, and people are being laid off, as we know, mm-hmm. and will be laid off over the coming weeks. And it's the inability of individual workers to argue their case or to have some kind of a settlement with their company, employer, which is part of the problem. So that is fundamentally what I want to do, is to focus on those low-paid workers and the 40% of young people under 30 who are in insecure work. Now, if only 2% of those people are voting Labour, but 40% of them are in insecure work, then clearly the whole point of the Labour Party is being lost.
Mm. Now, would focusing on the low paid or those who are insecure Labour, would focusing on them be enough to rebuild some of the trust or the disbelief that you mentioned that the broader society doesn't have with your party anymore?
Well, I think what we need to do is get beyond the squabble. And I think what might come out of this crisis is that people look at politics differently, that the politics can work better together. I don't think people are interested in us scrapping or squabbling with other political parties. We weren't founded to do that, Gavin. We weren't founded to squabble with other political entities. We were founded to challenge low-pay work, to challenge vulnerable work, to challenge disadvantage, to challenge poverty, to challenge illiteracy, educational disadvantage, all these things that I've been working on since I became a teacher in the inner city 20 years ago. So that was the point of the Labour Party. If the Labour Party didn't exist, would we found her? Would we set her up? Would we establish her today?
And many people might say that the existence of the Social Democrats is a perfect answer to that, that the Social Democrats maybe fulfilled that corner of the market that Labour had always anticipated for itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of our challenges. The Social Democrats, for example, in Dublin have 3 seats and we have 2. So what I want also, Gavin, is to have a wider vision of our party and also of our movement and of our values. And if ourselves and the Social Democrats and maybe, like-minded people in the SCLP could speak frankly together, that maybe in the not-too-distant future we could have a strong 32-county centre-left movement that would speak to the issues of which I feel most passionately about. I think that politics is too important, and certainly the values that myself and obviously Alan Kelly and other people in the party absolutely share are too important not to build bridges and not to discuss, and also too important to just be engaged in a petty squabble in Leinster House that so many people are turning off from.
Final question then for you, Ian, before we let you go and we bring in Alan Kelly. There's obviously still the ongoing vacuum of government formation, and we obviously, as you mentioned earlier on, we rightly accept that this is not politics as normal and that there is a sense of everyone needing to park their partisan issues for a moment. But in the case where the Labour Party could still have its influence brought to bear to influence a programme for government, to pursue some of those things you've already outlined, potentially to hold some ministerial offices where you can give effect to your aspirations, was it a mistake maybe for your party to immediately rule out entering government, and should there still be some scope for Labour to take part in that next government whenever it's formed?
I don't think we have a place in government. I think we have a place in discussing individual items of government with other political parties. Look, we're in a vacuum at the moment, and it's a dangerous vacuum, because there's an insecurity at the heart of Irish politics, and there's an insecurity at the heart of the Irish people. And that's a very dangerous space for us to be. We have people sitting around the cabinet table. You mentioned issues of transport. You mentioned issues of social protection. You have ministers heading up those departments who don't have any political or legitimacy in terms of they don't have a mandate. They're not members of Dáil Éireann. So these things have to be rectified. There's nothing that the Labour Party will not do to lead us out of this crisis. There's nothing that the Labour Party will not do in terms of cooperating with other parties to get us out of where we are.
Except long term,
in terms of in terms of government formation, it does seem that we have to all work together in the short term to get us through this. If there's anything we can do or feel that needs to be done, we will do it. But I don't feel we have the political or legitimacy in terms of a mandate to enter government at this stage. But I do feel that others who have that mandate, who have that potential, should do it, and we will support on any individual issue that government to get things over the line if that needs be. But look, these are very, very stressful times. It's a very, very difficult time. I've said absolutely from the beginning, we are going to get through this. We absolutely will. I know people are worried. I know children particularly who are off school are listening to rumour and they're scared. And I would ask actually of parents to speak to their children, because they're going to hear a rumour and they're going to get frightened. So there's a lot, obviously, that politics needs to do, and we do have a vacuum and there's insecurity. But there's nothing that the Labour Party will not do to make sure that we put, again, the people of this country first.
Okay. Eoghan Reardon, Party Spokesperson on Education and Labour TD for Dublin Bay North, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on the last on the record, and very best of luck in your campaign. Let's speak to your opponent now, the party's health spokesperson and former one-time deputy leader, Alan Kelly, TD for Tipperary. Alan, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us on the record. We might start with the last question that I put to Eoghan there. Do you believe that when all of this is over, and there might still be a question mark about who should be in government, should the Labour Party still hold open the prospect of entering that government?
Well, Gavin, firstly, I suppose, you know, the Labour leadership at this moment in time, you know, is, I suppose, not the most relevant issue as regards the issues we're facing as a country. We'll get back to that. But to answer your question directly, the Labour Party will always put the country first. We don't have a mandate for government. Our members certainly have shared with me that they don't want to be in government. They believe we need to rebuild. Having said that, we're in the biggest national crisis in my lifetime, and if the Labour Party needs to help a government in some capacity, we will always do that, because it is a national crisis. It is the largest crisis you and I probably will face in our lifetime, certainly from a health point of view, and ongoing consequences from an economic point of view. Mm. So we look, this is moving so fast, Gavin. I'm in Dublin tomorrow. After the Cabinet Subcommittee on Coronavirus is finished, I will be there as one of the representatives of the Labour Party with the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, the Minister for Health and CMO, and everybody else. And, you know, this is all moving, but the Labour Party will not, I repeat, will not be found wanting when it comes to actually doing what is necessary to support this country at this time. I'm permanently trying to work with government. There is no politics in this, party politics in this. I'm constantly on with Simon Harris, Simon Coveney, members of the department, members of the HSE all the time, putting forward ideas, raising concerns, making sure that the public follow the medical advice coming out from the CMO and all his team, Ron and Glenn as well, who's done very superb work. And that's the key focus for me at the moment, and it's the key focus for the party and to push out to your listeners. That is the number one issue we're dealing with all the time. I'm spending all hours as health spokesperson trying to facilitate and bring through, because they're, you know, to be fair to the government, to the representatives, they can't do all this on their own. They need the support of everyone across politics, but they also need us to feed through issues that are coming up, concerns. For instance, I've raised issues in relation to critical support agencies, companies who supply services to the HSE and other medical providers, how those workers need to be prioritised, protected, because they are the supply line in relation to so many services. I've been working consistently on that, and a range of other issues. I think we've a massive issue, Gavin, in relation to childcare for healthcare workers. A huge issue. And for instance, we have a number of people from outside the state who are fantastic people who work in our healthcare services, many nurses, for instance, who don't have family support, who don't have family support when it comes to childcare. So for instance, I'm saying quite directly to government, we need to find solutions here, because they are going to be our heroes. The healthcare workers in this country are going to be our heroes, Gavin, over the next days, weeks, months, and we need to put in place everything to support them.
No doubt, no issues, I think, from running for that. If, as Eoghan said, those in precarious work, or those who are lower paid and who are most at risk from all of this, are the clear cohort that the Labour Party seeks to represent and to assure the vindication of, is it perhaps, though, not more important for the Labour Party to be around the table when a government is formed? Maybe there's a question mark about if those are the people that you're most determined to represent. Maybe people could say, how could you afford to sit this out?
Well, I suppose what I'm saying quite here, Gavin, is we're not sitting it out. I'll be there tomorrow. I mean, de facto, there is a quasi form of national government kind of in operation. It's not a national government, but there's a quasi form of consultation process, communication that is going on all the time now, because we all need to work together. So I am representing those views very strongly, trust me, in relation to those who are working in the gig economy, those who are working in low-paid jobs, childcare workers. I believe childcare workers should be paid. and they should be facilitated then to go and help out in the healthcare system to mind children of healthcare workers. That's what I'm putting for all of these issues are being brought forward.
No issue with any of that, but we will be dealing with the consequences of this present crisis for months or maybe years afterwards, long after the quasi-national government that you mentioned still exists. And I suppose that the question still stands is, if you want to ensure the rights and the aspirations of those people after the crisis has ended and we go back to some degree of politics as normal, how you propose to do that if you're not willing to enter government to achieve it?
Well, it's like this. This is moving so fast, Gavin. Let me be quite clear with your question. So at this moment in time, we have a government we need to support. Right? I know there are people there without mandates. However, they're in positions. We need to support the government who are making decisions. We need to support the CMO and all his team. Secondly, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in discussions. According to reports of this morning, the Greens are not going to be involved in government. There will be other discussions between Fianna Fáil and others to form a government. Obviously, as this evolves, there may be discussions where they'll want us to support them inside or outside at some point. That will be something that we will have to discuss based on the circumstances we will be in as a country at that time, which is rapidly changing day by day. And the Labour Party will not be found wanting, Gavin. We will never be found wanting. We've always put the country first. We have always gone into government when the country was on its knees economically. Now we're in an absolute desperate health situation, a national crisis, and we will not be found wanting. We're a small party now. We've 60 DAs, and hopefully we'll have a number of senators, but we will not be found wanting. We will do whatever is right by the people.
Let me repeat one of the same questions that I put to Aon earlier on. What is your elevator pitch for the role of the Labour Party and your role as the leader of it?
Given the circumstances we're in, it's actually quite difficult to put forward an elevator pitch because of where we are. But frankly, in 60 seconds, I don't believe the party has been relevant over the last number of years. I believe I can make the party relevant when it comes to fighting for causes, when it comes to ensuring that we are heard as a party. I think I've done an awful lot of that over the last number of years when it came to various different issues, whether it was the Children's Hospital, a range of health issues, for instance, obviously the cervical cancer scandal, which I'm very much associated and on my role in PAC, because I lead passionately on issues, I fight on issues, and I campaign on issues. Secondly, I believe organisationally we haven't been at the races. I've been involved in 5 elections. I've been lucky enough to win all of them. I have organisational strength, and I believe in campaigning, for instance. I fundamentally believe when this crisis is over, one campaign we need to lead on, and will lead on if I'm leader, is we need to absolutely amend the 27th Amendment so that every child in this country who is born in this country, no matter where their parents are from, are actually citizens of this state. And the final thing, Gavin, is the Labour Party needs to get back to what it's good at. The social contract between the people and the government and the state agencies is broken. We need to get back into ensuring what people are worried about and concerned about: health, education, housing, absolutely housing, childcare, and obviously the whole conditions around work. People who work should support the Labour Party. I want to return the Labour Party to being the party of work and supporting people who work. That they are the issues that I want to deal with and promote when or if I become a party leader.
And neat in all the summaries that is, it's a fairly crowded field of people who are trying to represent that particular cohort in society or to advocate those views. So how do you make Labour relevant given how crowded that field is?
Well, I think politics has gone very, unfortunately, I believe politics has gone very personality driven. I think the medium by which communications is happening now across social media has changed the dynamic of that, and certainly it needs somebody who's going to be in that position, who is leading the party, who's going to be able to push the party out. And I would say that I have a track record of pushing the party out, pushing out issues. If I fight for an issue, if I fight on a campaign, if I want to make something be heard, I will do so. I will do so on behalf of the party, and I've done so in the past. What I want to do is bring all of those skills forward in a leadership capacity and be able to push the Labour Party's agenda as I have just defined on all of those issues and make our voice heard in with a party that is organised and also that we are relevant and bring us back into the scale that we have been at down through our history. I mean, we are at 4.4% at the moment, or whatever it was. Essentially, the Labour Party needs to be get back to 10% and over to be able to build on from there. And that's where I want to bring our party back to, because if we can get back as far as that point, you know, we can get electoral success to be in a position to drive home a mandate across our local authorities and potentially in the Dáil and channel it into the future in government.
Okay, Alan Kelly, Labour Party spokesperson on health and TD for Tipperary, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record, and best of luck with your campaign.